You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Jared Ledesma. He's talking to me from Des Moines. Jared, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you for having me.
I suppose I mispronounced that. It's not actually Des Moines, of course. It's Des Moines.
Right. Right. I wasn't sure if it was appropriate to correct you, but yep, that's right. It's Des Moines. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like to be corrected. So, okay. So we're going to talk about your work, but tell me a little bit about what's happening in Des Moines at the moment, because we're talking still in peak pandemic here on February 3rd, 2021. What's the? And I know it's going to affect a lot of the things that we talk about that you're working on. So, but just socially, mm-hmm. I guess what's the situation like there, or publicly?
Well, Iowa, it's been interesting during the pandemic. The Art Center, so I work at the Des Moines Art Center, and which is a modern contemporary art museum and an art school. We closed in March 2019, but we reopened in July of 2019. We opened pretty early compared to other institutions nationally and globally. And our governor here in Iowa basically opened the entire state in July during the summer. And so things are open here. It's a little bizarre. Gyms are open, barber shops, restaurants, bars, everything is practically open. There are mask requirements. The governor has emphasized that everyone should wear masks, but things are open here. So it's, like I was saying, it's a little bizarre. And the Art Center is taking it very seriously. We have timed entry for people to enter the museum. So many visitors per hour. We also require masks. And if someone does not have a mask, we provide them with a mask. We also have a pathway that people must follow when walking through the Art Center, which is a little, it was difficult at first because the Art Center is composed of three buildings. They all connect, but they're all different. They were designed by three different architects, Eliel Saarinen, I.M. Pei, and Richard Meyer. And the beauty of the Art Center is that we're free. We don't charge admission, and people are allowed to kind of explore on their own. So now, unfortunately, people are forced to follow a path. And it's a different experience, but I'm really happy that we're open for the public here, and we're able to show everyone our fantastic collection. And we're even able to mount exhibitions, which is pretty major during a pandemic, and I'm really proud of that.
That is exciting, and just the architecture that you know, described by multiple, absolute star architects is kind of extraordinary. Mm-hmm. It must make it exciting to work there, being mm-hmm. being in that kind of incredible building. I want to talk about your programs and process, but the building itself, kind mm-hmm. of extraordinary, right?
Yeah, no, it really is, and we are renowned for our buildings, and the Saarinen building opened in the 1940s, and it's very much, mid-century, modern, low to the ground, flat lines. It's composed from limestone. And part of what I love about the Saarinen building is that it's not very imposing at all. It's not a typical Beaux-Arts-style art museum. It's very much, it was designed with the community in mind, thinking, and that's also why we are called the Des Moines Art Center, thinking that we are here for the community. And so we didn't want a building that looked imposing for people. We wanted it to look more welcoming, which I just love that story. And the I.M. Pei building is also remarkable, and that was built in the 1960s because our collection was growing, and so was artwork. Artists were starting to make paintings that were larger and sculpture that was getting bigger, so we needed a space to show bigger artwork. So the I.M. Pei building is rather cavernous, and it's it's very these kind of like elongated planes. The windows are very long. There's a catwalk that spans over a gallery that's also very elongated and long. And it's my favorite building here at the Art Center and many others. And then we have the Richard Meier wing, which was built in the 1980s. And it's very much like Meier's grid-like design. It is about 3 stories tall. And there's a lot of light in that building. Typical Richard Meier makes it really hard for curators to install art in his buildings because artwork is so light sensitive, and it makes it challenging. But it's really wonderful to see the 3 buildings together. And there's a moment, we have an outdoor courtyard and a reflecting pool. And there's a specific moment when the 3 buildings come together, and it's really quite lovely.
So that's so exciting. I'm so glad you described those, because that certainly makes me wanna visit, and hopefully we'll draw other people in as well. So tell me about exhibits, and we could talk about current or upcoming that you've been involved in that are perhaps a favorite of yours, that we can just talk about. You know, the work and installation in terms of how you contributed to it and how you're excited about it.
Yeah, sure. So I have a couple of shows coming up. One opens in early March. So every year the Art Center mounts an exhibition devoted to an artist from Iowa, or an artist who is currently living in Iowa. It's called Iowa Artists. And this year, we're presenting the work of Olivia Valentine, who I believe you spoke to before on your program in the past. She teaches at Iowa State University. She's an assistant professor there. And her work is quite fantastic. She's incredibly smart, and a lot of her work is based or grounded in textile design, but then it kind of makes a break from it, or kind of morphs into, she does works on paper and sculptures and larger installations. And so for her exhibition here at the Art Center, she is really interested in our buildings, speaking of our architecture, and especially the Richard Meier building, which is quite tall, and the I.M. Pei building, which is more horizontal. And she's interested in that contrast between the verticality of the Meier wing and the horizontality, which she refers to it, of the I.M. Pei building. So her show is meant to emphasize those overlooked characteristics of the architecture, you know, things that people might not see. And in the Richard Meier wing, we'll be presenting a site-responsive installation that she's creating along with our preparatory crew. It's really ambitious, and one of the most ambitious projects that an Iowa artist show has ever presented. I'm going to try to do it justice here verbally. It's so much easier with images, but basically,
just to let you know, we will have images in here. I'll link
also great.
to her interview that I did. And that is part of the challenge of this podcast, this interview series. I'm always talking about visual art, and we're not looking at pictures, although on the website where it is, there are pictures of her work and more. And on this interview, we'll also have images. So yeah, please go
awesome.
On and tell me more about Olivia Valentine's exhibition, which sounds wonderful. I love that it's your favorite of that. I love her work, but it also does work with the architecture there, which is exciting.
Yeah, no, it really is. And so for the Richard Meier wing, there's a wall, a 3-story wall that supports specific sides of our galleries, and it goes unnoticed. You know, people don't typically, nothing has ever been hung on that wall. We've had a few drawings on a wall adjacent to it, but not this specific wall, at least in my memory since I've been here. And what she is planning, what we're going to do, is there'll be a series of ropes that will look like they have been stitched into the wall in a pattern based in like a Jacquard loom textile weaving design. And so it'll look like these ropes have been woven into the wall. And so technically it'll look like they're stitched in and out. So they'll go in one side of the wall and come out the other side into the galleries and then go back out and in and out and in. That's the illusion. Realistically, it will take a lot of craftsmanship from our crew here and Olivia to drill some holes into the wall, not all the way through, but kind of create this trompe l'oeil effect that, you know, these ropes have been woven into the wall. And for Olivia, it's this idea of kind of activating an aspect of the architecture that is typically silent, and to make it, to transform it from, you know, a silent object into something that can be an art object, a more three-dimensional object that's living. And she also likes the kind of play with materials, the idea that is rope in connection to her interest in fiber and Meyer's architecture and this kind of solid grid-like design that for her kind of is a bit gendered and referring to masculinity. And there'll also be a few watercolor drawings installed in the Meyer wing in these discrete locations that are kind of, that will activate these spaces that don't typically have art in them. So that'll be in the Meyer wing. And then in our I Am Pei wing, we have a gallery that we call the lower gallery. And in that gallery, there'll be a set of maybe 4 or 5 tables. And on top will be these small, intimate sculptures made from plaster. And they're very low. They're about, I don't know, maybe 3 inches tall and 3 by 5, 5 inches wide. And they're a little crude-like. They look like she literally, like, pulled rock or granite from the earth and kind of and then painted watercolor onto their surfaces. And that's why she chose to install them in the Pei wing, because there's a lot of echoing there with the plaster and the texture of the plaster and the walls of the Pei wing, where the limestone is very visible. But also their surfaces are very flat and emphasize this idea of horizontality. And the designs on the sculptures, the watercolor drawings, mirror the watercolor designs that will be in the Richard Meyer wing to kind of top it off and connect the two installations together.
Wow, that is exciting. So I want to ask you a little bit more about when you mentioned quickly about gendered aspect, mm-hmm. you know, and because she's mm-hmm. she's working in a specific way and how she addresses that. I think it's an important issue. I know it's one that I misunderstood at an early age. When I was, I won't say quite how young, but I remember being in part of a museum with my mother and saying to her, maybe, you know, I wonder if it's like, you know, stained glass is to women as steel is to men. And she said to me, that's the most sexist thing I have ever heard in my life.
Oh, no.
and
Mom. That's awesome.
Of course. She's really wonderful and was. And of course, it is like the most sexist thing. And you know, for me at that age, just incredibly naive. But I think,
right.
you know, artists
mm-hmm.
have taken this on in different ways, this sort of, you know, have been critical of it, but also drawn attention to it, this kind of notion of, you know, kind of a machismo sometimes in art, where people are bringing in,
yep.
you know, tons of bricks
mm-hmm.
or steel. And,
yep. Mm-hmm.
So, can you speak to that a little bit and how she addressed that? You were talking about Meyer in which she was addressing that, right?
Yeah, so the Meyer building, a lot of his built. He also designed the Getty Center in Los Angeles, if that gives listeners a better idea of his designs. They're all very rooted in the grid, so kind of mid-20th century minimal art. and which has a reputation of being very, like you're saying, this machismo. You know, when we think of minimal art, we think of these paintings that are very strong and stark and steel, you know, Donald Judd and these materials. And so, you know, and so for Olivia, she really wanted to counter that by introducing this idea of textile design into this space and not necessarily combat it, but show that the two can work together to create a lovely installation. And the same can almost be said about the I Am Pei wing. It's referred to as a brutalist building because of the architecture. You know, the limestone is visible. It is very brutalist, and I think with Olivia's sculptures, they're very intimate and small, and require a slower act of looking, and they're delicate. And I think she's also thinking about the interplay between those concepts as well.
Thanks for talking about that. Before I ask you the last question, is there anything else you want to share about the museum? There's links to the museum here so people can learn more and see more. Is there anything else you want to mention or plug about the museum coming up, just for the listeners who are now fascinated by the museum if they weren't already?
Yeah, well, I would love to plug my other show that's coming up later this year, if that's okay.
Please do.
So this show is called Louis Fratino, Tenderness Revealed, and it's a solo show of work by Louis Fratino, who is an American artist who currently lives in Brooklyn, and he's a painter and a draftsman, and his work is incredibly beautiful and charming, and he's interested in modernism, American modernism and European modernism, like Matisse and Picasso, but also Georgia O'Keeffe and Marsden Hartley. And he's so smart. He's found a way he embraces their techniques of painting and creates these works that visualize intimacy between two men, or he visualizes queer intimacy in such a way that is very charming and inviting. And more recently, he's been painting images of light, of his community, because of 2020 and what happened to all of us of quarantining, and also the rise of the Black Lives Matter movement. And he took a step back and really thought, well, I'm a cisgendered white male artist, what can I do? And so he took a step back from painting the male figure and or his desire, and began painting, you know, his backyard, or focusing on light and how that can also be part of what he sees in the world and his vision as a queer man. And the paintings are incredibly bold and lush, these bright palettes like Matisse, and they vary in size from, 8 feet tall by 4 feet wide to 9 by 12 inches. And we'll have a show, his first solo museum show here, and it'll be about 25 paintings, and he'll also be producing 10 drawings for another smaller show at the museum. So we're all very excited for this show, and that opens here in November.
Thanks so much for mentioning that. I'm so glad you did. That sounds very exciting. I want to ask you in the end now, what are you reading at the moment, just on a personal level?
Yeah, oh, sure. So I actually just got the other day a book called, I think it's called Householders, and it's by Tara McDowell, who is an art historian in Australia, and the book focuses on the poet Robert Duncan and his partner Jess, who was, they were both in San Francisco during the mid-20th century, and they exchanged vows in the 1950s in San Francisco and lived together in this beautiful, you know, San Francisco Victorian. And Jess was very introverted. He was a visual artist. We have a painting of his in the Art Center's collection. And the book is about this idea of domesticity and their life together and how that impacted Duncan's poetry and Jess's art. And I just started it. I just got it the other day. So I'm really excited to dig further into it.
That sounds exciting. Jared, I want to thank you so much for talking with me. It's really been my pleasure.
Mine as well. Thank you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.